natural way, everybody. This is the show that exposes the chemical pushers, the environmental thugs, and the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of common sense gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and good morning, Georgia. And good morning, the rest of the country, and I guess some of the people in other countries as well. I'm not in the Dallas-Fort Worth area studio, as usual. I'm in Georgia. I'm at WRGA in Rome, Georgia, and here for the Northwest Garden Home and Garden Show in Cartersville. I'm in Rome at the studio here, but I'm going back to Cartersville after the show. So those of you in the Atlanta area, we're north of Atlanta, please come by and see us. The show runs from 1 till 5 o'clock. I'm going to do a presentation. Basically the same that I did a couple of times yesterday, but a little bit different. I never remember what I did the time before, so they're always a little bit different. So I hope you can come out if you're in the area. I'll be talking at 2 o'clock. I've had a great time with the people here. Howard and Mary Toole have been extremely nice. We went out to dinner last night. Randy Quick and Kevin Daniels. Dustin Sledge is the engineer that's been helping me with all kinds of things, the talk and the show today. Matt and David are back in Dallas. David doing the screening. So sound the same there, Matt. Okay. Well, the point is, I think we're back now. The telephone number for you is the same as always. It's 1-866-444-3478. 1-866-444-3478. Give us a call and we'll chat about anything that you would like. The first thing I need to do is tell you about it. So anyway, we'll talk about all that sort of thing. If any of you have any reason to want to debate that or argue about it, that's fine. We don't object to that. If you've got some point that we're missing, you want to bring to the show, that's fine too. But anyway, we'll get into a lot of those things and related projects, as related situations, topics as well. Munster Milling is the sponsor of this hour. Munster Milling and Crazy Water, two products that are incredible in two completely different areas. The water can be used for humans and pets, I suppose. The dog food is a dry dog food that's just state of the art. We've been associated with Munster Milling for a long time. The Munster natural dog food and cat foods are the best for several reasons. One is they truly do not contain any preservatives, any chemical, toxic chemical preservatives. A lot of dog foods say they don't, but they're not being totally honest with you. A lot of the dog foods say there are natural preservatives, but if you look at where it says that on the label, it says it outside the fats only. It's the only place it's identified, and that's because it's the only place it is. The rest of the dog food ends up being preserved before the raw materials are sent to the manufacturer, and there's a lot of silly little games like that being played. So if you want a true non-toxic, no chemical preservatives, there are some dry, frozen products and some other products on the market out there besides this one, but they're in different categories. They cost a lot more money. Some of them are fine. In fact, Munster has come out with an all-beef, an all-meat product now that we're going to be talking about more as time goes on that looks really good. But a lot of the dry dog foods just flat don't tell you the whole story. So if you haven't tried it yet, it's Munster Milling, Munster Natural. It's M-U-E-N-S-T-E-R, Munster Natural Dog Food and Cat Food. My tea this morning is kind of interesting. I've gotten a little bit stuck in a rut. It's green tea as a base. In fact, Judy and I are trying to drink some green tea on a little more regular basis. It's really good for you in general. Antioxidants, a lot of good things. But this green tea has...
That's 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
All right. I guess we're back on the air. Hope we are. I was talking about the little dog that's from the SPCA, Ariana. I don't know how much of that you heard, but go to our website, Dirt Doctor. Hello? Oh, okay. Ariana is, are we on the air now, Matt? Okay. Sorry about that, everybody. The little dog is on our website on dirtdoctor.com, and she is a cutie. So go there and let's give her a home. It says Ariana is a family pet, so she is always on her best behavior, though she would prefer to be in a quiet home with children 12 years old and up. She must be a little bit afraid of fast-moving small kids around, so check her out. Now, from last week, Champ is still waiting for a home, so let's help out Champ. And we're not having any luck with Bella and Bunny at all. Those are two small white dogs that I think they would like to try to place together. So check them out on dirtdoctor.com. Just go to the website, the homepage, and click on the SPCA button and go there. Wherever you are, help the research organizations place the dogs. We raised a little money yesterday selling the organic manual at the event for one of the local rescue operations here, and completely sold out of books. Should have brought some more because came up with a little money for the dogs here, and was glad to be able to do that. Let's see. If you didn't hear it, we had a little technical problem there for a while. We are going to be talking today at 2 o'clock if you're in the Atlanta area, north of Atlanta, Georgia. We will be speaking at 2 o'clock at the Northwest Georgia Home and Garden Show in Cartersville. It opens at 1 o'clock, goes to 5, and I'll be there at 2 o'clock. So if you have time to come by, quite a few people had books to sign yesterday, and be glad to do that if you have time to come by and ask some questions and chat about organic gardening. Yesterday, before we go to the phone lines, and by the way, we've got open phone lines if you want to jump on here, or I think we do. If you want to jump on here, it's 1-866-444-3478. A subject that came up a lot yesterday, and it actually came up Saturday on the air, Saturday morning when I was doing Bob's show, as I always do, on KTSA down in San Antonio. We were talking about fertilizer. A lot of people getting into this organic arena for the first time and wondering what to do, what kind of fertilizer to buy, and asking when they should fertilize. And I always know that's a new person to organics because we usually start fertilizing in January, as soon as the weather turns warm, and it did this year. And so we started doing that first major fertilization of the year in January, and all through February is fine. As we get toward the end of February, you're getting kind of toward the end of the window for the ideal time to do that first fertilization of the year. Although, with the organic program, you can fertilize any month of the year, and it's not a problem. But it's just the ideal time to get it in now, and then the second fertilization of the year will be early summer. We normally shoot for 1st of June or thereabouts. Depending on where you are, if you're in the north, this timing will be delayed a little bit. And then the third one will be in the fall, sometime September-ish through October. Those of you who have been organic for a while may not want to fertilize more than one or two times. The new folks that are just getting into building soil and trying to get the biological activity up, which is the whole key to everything that we talk about here. You want to do 3 applications, and you want to put out organic fertilizer at about 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. Now, some of the people yesterday were real interested in it, but they were asking where to get the products. And some of the garden centers and nurseries have a few organic tools in stock, but some of them don't have all that much. Let me talk about some of the alternatives and some of the things you might ask for that might be in the stores, and give you some tips on that when we come back. We need to take a little break here, and then we'll come back and jump on the phone lines if you'd like to chat. It's 1-866-444-3478. I'm going to talk about tree cavities and some tree care work, too, that came up when I was talking to Bob that I want to pass on to you as well.
Tired of poor-performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you with a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to asktheplant.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's asktheplant.com or call 956-383-0739. The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs. If you are a grower, farmer, rancher, landscape contractor, or homeowner who expects excellent results, convenience, and to save money, then you need to visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Once again, naturalorganicwarehouse.com. The Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work.
Keeping our bones strong and healthy becomes more of a challenge as we age, especially for women. This is Dr. Natalie Engelbart, scientific advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has proven that adding a probiotic supplement to your diet will fortify and strengthen bones, making them less likely to break. A clinical study done exclusively on Dr. O'Hara's probiotics found that women and men who took Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for at least 8 weeks had significantly increased bone density. The calcium we consume through milk and supplements is not always absorbed or used to build bone. In fact, without a healthy probiotic population in the gut, calcium can pass right through undigested. The nice thing about probiotics is that they are part of the original plan. They are supposed to be in the intestinal tract. As a doctor, I worry about depending on drugs that harden bone by slowing the normal remodeling process. But I can't think of a good reason not to have better digestion at any age.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you by now. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. The absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time are all important. Some of the Munster products have no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster natural is quality and results in healthy cats and dogs. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area for your dogs and cats.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
With you and ready to go. If you want to jump on here, we've got wide open lines for you at 1-866-444-3478. Yesterday, I was listening to my friend Bob Webster on his show a little bit before I went on with him, and he had started talking about a couple of tree issues. His callers had asked about cavities, and they were talking about filling the cavities with various materials. Some people in the tree care business will put the styrofoam filler. Other people put concrete. And he kind of suggested that that might be the best way to go. And one of the things that's fun about Bob and I when we visit together in person or on the radio, either one, is that we don't necessarily agree 100% on everything. We kind of have different interests. He's been in the business of growing greenhouse orchids and a lot of things that I haven't done, and I've been involved a little bit more in tree care and arboriculture than he has in some ways. So through my years of studying trees, one thing that I have run into, and I said, Bob, I'm going to have to disagree with you on something. I think that cavities, when you have a hole in a tree, a cavity in a tree, the best way to manage that hole, that cavity, is to leave it alone, not put any filling in it at all. And I think it was a little bit of a surprise because a lot of people in the industry, you know, do that. I think that they think it's a cosmetic problem to just leave a big old hole in the tree. Well, backing up a little bit, the cause of a cavity in a tree in the first place is very commonly due to a cut being made flush with the trunk. And you've heard me talk about that specific point a lot. Making flush cuts is a very, very bad thing to do, and that's one of the reasons why it's bad. When you make a flush cut the branch collar all the way off, or even part of the branch collar off, you set up a situation where decay and bacteria can move in, especially at the top and the bottom of the cut. When you made a flush cut, you can tell you've messed up if you stand back and look at it and it's shaped like a football or an oval. If it is in that kind of a shape, it's a pretty good bet that you've cut in too close to the trunk of the tree. If it's perfectly round or real close to being just a round cut when you look into it, that means that you probably made the cut at the right place. You could have made it a little bit too far out, but I'd much rather you make the cut when you're trimming your trees too far out and leave a stub than to make it too close to the trunk. Because when you do that, you cut that branch collar, that swelling. If you look at a limb of a tree, and some trees have a more pronounced branch collar than others, but all trees have it. It's just some are harder to see than others. But you look at the limb from the side, you can see a swelling. And it will go all the way around where the limb connects to the tree, and that swelling, which will, by the way, stick out farther at the bottom of the limb than at the top of the limb, that swelling is part of the trunk. It's not part of the limb. And that's why when you cut into that swelling, or cut it all off, which is even worse, you have damaged the trunk of the tree. You've gone, you know, beyond the limb. So that's, if you look around in nature, if you watch trees out in the wild that have a limb just die for whatever reason. It may be because the limb was shaded out, or of, you know, lightning or wind or something happens and a limb dies. Probably the most commonly happens because the lower limbs just got shaded out. But watch and maybe even take some pictures and show some folks this because it's pretty educational. If you'll watch where a dead limb dies back to, you will see that the branch collar is, in most cases, sticking out farther from the trunk than you realized. And it will die back to the point where it likes to die back to, where it wants to, and fall off at that point. And that makes the wound very small. And that branch collar then can continue to grow and callus over and compartmentalize that wound. And that's what I was telling Bob. When you have a cavity, when you've cut the limb too close and a big cavity is formed in the tree, that tree even tries to protect itself in that situation. Trees don't have the ability to heal a cut or a wound like we do and like animals do. They can only grow over it and do what's called compartmentalizing that wound with good fresh tissue. Well, inside a cavity, a hole in a trunk, there's a protective barrier in the back of that hole that is protecting that dead place from continuing to rot and grow into the good tissue of the tree. That's the tree's natural protection, that barrier. It's very, very thin, but it's a very powerful protective barrier. If you fill that hole with concrete or with styrofoam, this foamy stuff, that orange product that some people use or anything else, one is, putting it in there with the tools that you're using and everything, there's a chance you're going to violate that protective barrier so that rot and decay can move on into the healthy part of the tree and make the matter worse. When you fill the hole up with it as the tree tries to grow, that filled material can grow into that protective barrier and cause a problem, especially if it's concrete. And that's what I was telling Bob. The other thing is when you fill a cavity with something, you have trapped moisture and maybe some pathogens back in there behind that fill material that then can fester up and end up growing into the protective barrier, violating it, and growing into the good part of the tree. So best thing to do is leave it open. I'll talk about that just a little bit more and some other related things, and then we'll get to the phone line. So give us a call, 866-444-3478, if I remember my own number. I'll be back after this. Don't go away.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. New Secretary of State John Kerry is jumping right into the job. He embarks today on a grueling nine-nation, 10-day trip that will bring him to America's traditional Western European allies, as well as to Turkey, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Qatar. Italy holding parliamentary elections through tomorrow. The result will be closely watched in the midst of the ongoing financial crisis there. Some investors worry that Italy may back down from a reform plan designed to pull the country out of a long-term recession. A veteran Israeli parliamentarian is warning his country is, quote, on the eve of an intifada unless peace talks with Palestinians get back on track. Those words today from Benjamin Ben-Eliezer. He tells Israel Radio violence between the Israelis and Palestinians will escalate unless meaningful peace talks resume. His remarks come after a week of clashes. This is SRN News.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-801-9691. 1-800-801-9691. That's 1-800-801-9691.
1-800-801-9691.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. The Miami Heat extended their winning streak to 10 games with a 114-90 dunking of the 76ers in Philadelphia. Heat forward LeBron James says he sensed his teammates could generate most of Miami's offense. Despite that, James had a triple-double of 16 points, 11 assists, and 10 rebounds.
I sensed that from the beginning that I didn't need to score to help our team win this game. I felt like, hey, I can create two, I can create three, and I can get my guys open looks. I seen that from the beginning, and I continued to do that in the second half.
The Heat maintained its 5.5 game lead over Indiana top the Eastern Conference. The Pacers won their four straight 90-72 over Detroit. Al Horford hit a baby hook shot with 5.9 seconds left as Atlanta beat Milwaukee 103-102. Cleveland was a 118-94 winner over Orlando, sending the Magic to their 28th loss in their last 31 games. Elsewhere, it was Denver 113, Charlotte 99, Washington 105, Houston 103, the LA Clippers 107, Utah 94. This is SRN Sports. In the NHL, Washington was a 5-1 winner over New Jersey on Alex Ovechkin's hat trick. Devils goalie Johan Hedberg says Ovechkin is nearly impossible to stop when he gets on a roll.
I have to say, you have to give him credit. Like, we know what kind of player he is. If he doesn't execute, he's gonna hurt you. And he did.
Detroit beat Nashville 4-0. Red Wings goaltender Jimmy Howard, who stopped 33 shots, says they didn't play this well during their five-game losing streak.
Put everything to rest there. You know, things weren't going our way. We weren't really, you know, paying attention to detail. And, you know, tonight we got that performance from every single one of us.
Philadelphia beat Winnipeg 5-3. Edmonton was a shootout winner over Phoenix 3-2. It was Los Angeles 4, Colorado 1. Montreal 3-0 over the Rangers. The Islanders blanked Buffalo 4-0. Tampa Bay was a 5-2 winner over Carolina. It was Ottawa 3, Toronto 2. St. Louis 2-1 over Columbus. Dallas 3, San Jose 1. Calgary 3-1 over Minnesota. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard back with you. And again, that telephone number is 866-444-3478. Finishing up on the trees, and then we'll get right to the people that are holding there. I had a Facebook question that I thought was really good. It was a question about having a tree taken down and ground up into sawdust, and wanted to know if that could be used directly into beds. And you can see my answer on Facebook going there to the Dirt Doctor or Howard Garrett, either one, where we've got all the pictures of the crazy fence and all that's been going on there. You can comment on my fence design, which a whole lot of people have done, by the way. But my basic answer there was, if it's mostly a big trunk, so it's primarily cellulose wood, it'd be better to put that material in the compost pile first, mix it with some other things. If you can put some kitchen scraps, coffee grounds, spent plants, if you can put any green foliage of any kind, weeds are great. In with it and compost it for a while, it would be better than using it directly in the soil. After you compost it a while and it's broken down a little bit, it'd be perfect to go in the soil. On the other hand, if it was a tree that had limbs and twigs and buds and cambium layer and a lot of living tissue mixed with the wood of the trunk, well, that's basically shredded tree trimmings. That's the mulch that I like the best. And that, in that case, I wouldn't mix it into the soil, into the bed preparation, but using it directly on the surface of the soil, on bare soil around the plants, that would be great. And by the way, in case I don't remember to do it, as we were driving to the station here, I noticed that here in Rome, Georgia, we have the same problem with some tree planting that we have in Houston, Texas. At least some of the landscape contractors, it appears, like to pile the mulch up like big volcanoes around the trees. I'm going to have to get the word being spread around here a little bit better that we don't recommend that at all. And then on fertilizer, real quickly, and we can talk about this in more detail, the fertilizer issue that we're talking about at the event here, and I'm getting questions about on the on Facebook and the internet and everything about what to use as an organic fertilizer. People are hearing about it. We got a lot of new listeners and a lot of new people on the website and in Facebook that don't know exactly what an organic fertilizer is. The answer to that question is, it can be as simple as coffee grounds thrown out around all plants, and you can put it out as heavy as you want, because you can grow a plant in solid 100% coffee grounds, but it makes a wonderful organic fertilizer to use to start your organic program. Put it out at anywhere from 20 pounds to 100 pounds per 1,000 square feet to use it in a fertilizer situation. If you go to the feed stores, the garden centers, seed stores, even the big boxes, they're going to have some kind of organic fertilizer. They may have some blends. They may have some basic meals like alfalfa meal, soy meal, cottonseed meal, fish meal, things like that. Any of those are great. Just consider the price. The price on all those will range. Fish is probably one of the best I mentioned, but it'd probably be the most expensive. And then some of the blends, we have probably 8 or 10 different choices in Texas. In other parts of the country, you may have one choice, maybe a couple. So you'll just have to see what people have and ask the store owners, if they don't have the kinds of things that I talk about here, to get them. And you can tell them that they can get the organic fertilizers and all through the regular distribution network. And if they want to contact us about how to get some specific things that we talk about, you can tell them to do that. Send an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. But any kind of carbon material, any kind of fertilizer that's brown, that has carbon, that has organic matter, that has humic materials, that's what we're looking for, to replace the high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers that are the things that we do not want you to use. And we can talk about that more, but we've got a lot of people holding, so I'm going to get to the phones here. Let's see if we can make this work. First up this morning will be Bill in Azle, Texas. Hello, Bill.
Hello.
What can we do for you? Bill? Hello, Bill. Well, for some reason, Bill's not hearing me. Bill?
Hello?
Are you there? Hello, Bill. Well, he's not hearing me for some reason. Dustin, we may need to see what's going on there. His question's pretty simple. Hopefully he can hear me on the air. He's asking about, would fireplace ashes be okay to use for planting? And that's a kind of a loaded question, because it depends on where you are. You have to understand that fireplace ashes are basically the, you know, the mineral salts. Let me see if I can get him over here. Bill, are you there? Yeah, I don't know where Bill went. Anyway, the fireplace ashes are wood that has had the carbon burned away, and those mineral salts are really concentrated. You'll hear people say not to use the fireplace ashes ever for anything, and I don't agree with that. I think it's a good tool to use if you use it correctly, and the easiest way to explain using it for anybody listening out there is to make it a portion of your compost. Mix it into the compost pile. You can let it make up about 10% of the volume of the pile, and that way you're putting back together with those concentrated mineral salts, organic matter, organic materials, humic materials, all these carbon type things, and those salts, which are loaded with nutrients and trace minerals, become a positive thing. So everybody can do that. You can use fireplace ashes directly on the soil if you have soil that's really acid, sandy soils. And even in that case, I'd be reluctant to do it, you know, go whole hog, to just, you know, be cavalier and put out a tremendous amount of ashes. I'd put it out at rates probably no more than about 5 to 8 pounds per 1,000 square feet. In other words, kind of a light dusting. Malcolm Beck, I've talked to a lot of you about this in the past, did some experiments years ago where he put petunias in potted little 1 gallon pots, and he put fireplace ashes, 1 tablespoon in the first one, 2 tablespoons in the second, and on and on and on. In the first one, he didn't put any fireplace ashes, and the petunia, which is subject to chlorosis, that did the best was the one that got 4 ounces of fireplace ashes in the soil. We'll try one more caller here. Frank in Dallas. You there, Frank? Hello, Frank. Well, for some reason, we are not, they're not being able to hear me. We'll try to get that fixed.
Our PlayStations. Try one more caller.
All right.
Hello?
Frank, you there? Hello, Frank?
Frank Hello. Well, you cut out.
Frank is not able to hear me there for some reason. Well, on another related issue, let's see if I can end this now. That's going to be bothering everybody. Okay. Give us a call back. We'll get it all straightened out here sooner or later. The telephone number is 866-444-3478. One of the other questions that came up yesterday that I think more people are interested in, because I've had a couple of follow-up questions about it, is how to get rid of purslane. We had somebody say that purslane or portulaca, which is very closely kin to, it's a real pretty low-growing annual, but also grows as a weed. And the one that's a weed grows very low to the ground, has yellow flowers. And a lot of people want to know how to kill it. Well, number one, it's very easy to kill if you want to do that. You can spray it with the vinegar solution, or you can use the commercial product, which is called Avenger, which is an orange oil or delaminating product, and it'll kill it. It'll fry it in a hurry. But people have to remember that it's a herb that is very nutritious. It has kind of antioxidant power. It's a very high-quality kind of a weed, if you want to call it that, but it is in our herb book. I've recommended it for a long time, and the wild one, the one that's a weed that's low growing and has the yellow flowers, is the most powerful of all of them. The hybrids that you buy at the nursery and plant of portulaca and purslane, those are edible too, and the entire plant is edible, by the way, the flowers and the stems and the whole deal. You can eat them just like you would any greens. They can be eaten raw. They can be put in salads. They can be cooked by themselves, or they can be cooked with other greens like turnip greens, beet greens, collards, whatever kind of greens that you cook, and add not only a nice additional flavor, but more nutrition and more healthful ingredients to the food. So don't just go around and wholesale knock all that stuff out, okay? All righty. Well, let's try one more time here and see if we can hang up on one more person. Here's John in Crowley.
Hello?
John, are you there? John cannot hear me for some reason. John, you may have to call me back. I apologize about that. Put you back on hold here. He's asking about blueberries. Soil for blueberries. Let's just go into that a little bit before this next break, and then I'll finish up when we come back if I run out of time. Blueberries are one of those crops that are tough to grow if you don't have the right kind of soil. They like a sandy, acid soil for best production. In fact, to stay alive, they need really low pH. One of the few times where you'll hear me talk about the pH has to be a certain level. Blueberries just require that situation to get the nutrients into the plant that they need. You will hear the professional people, the university people, talk about using lots and lots of peat moss in the beds. And I don't like peat moss at all. If you use some peat moss in the beds, and some of my friends that are in the blueberry business do that because everybody recommended it and they gave it a try. But what's more important for the beds is to get compost and other organic materials in the beds that would provide biological activity. Peat moss doesn't. Peat moss is basically sterile. And so if you use peat moss as the base of your bed preparation, whether you're growing blueberries or something else, you need to add coffee grounds, good finished compost. You need to drench with the Garrett Juice Plus. You need to add a product that contains beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizal fungus, something like the BioSI. And you need to use a good quality water, because a lot of people go to the trouble of getting the soil really nicely balanced and kind of low on the pH side and good for the blueberries, and then they'll keep watering with alkaline water that has a bunch of bad stuff in it, and they have failure with blueberries. Well, more on that when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back with you right after this.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at biositechnology.com.
One of the places you can go to buy crazy water is at the Crazy Water Store in Mineral Wells. This is where the Crazy Well is and where you can purchase crazy water and many related products. Crazy water is what I drink, and there are several reasons why you should too. Other waters can't add naturally occurring minerals to their water, only synthetic ones. Crazy Water's high level of natural minerals are more readily absorbed by your body than synthetic minerals. Crazy Water is also a natural sports drink without all the artificial flavors and sugars. Crazy Water drinkers love it because it's real and it's an easy means of hydration and electrolyte replenishment. Crazy Water's been making people feel good since 1881. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and click on Find Us to locate a store in your area. If your favorite store is not carrying Crazy Water, click on the red Get Crazy banner ad on the top of the store location page to print a page that you can give to your store so they can get Crazy Water for you. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner. Or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
One of the most important organic product manufacturers in Texas is the Medina Corporation down in Hondo, Texas. The company's been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products longer than anyone in the business. Medina has quality fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulas. Medina products work by stimulating the soil biology to help all plants. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products that help you spend your budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right at the same time. They have a brand new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food, which is great.
The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com, and you'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell quality organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
And we're still trying to get our callers to be able to come up for you here. Larry in line four, is that Larry or Neil in Pilot Point? Larry, are you there? Neil in Pilot Point. Hello, Neil. Well, Neil's not coming up either. Let's see if I can help here. It says he has a 6 to 8 inch limb that he is wanting to remove from a post oak. Well, I can tell you how to do it if that's what the question was, and if that's not the question, Larry, let the guys there at the studio know what else I need to help you with. But a 6 to 8 inch limb on a live oak will normally have a pretty distinctive branch collar. If you look at the side of the limb before you start to do any work to cut it away, you'll notice that beneath the cut there's a bulging area. It's almost like the weight of the limb pushing down caused a little bit of tissue to kind of pooch out a little bit. That's the branch collar, and it extends farther out from the trunk, like I was saying at the beginning of the show, on the bottom than it does at the top, although there's branch collar all the way around the limb. And every bit of that branch collar is what you want to protect. Now, most people, most arborists, and I agree, use on a limb that's any size a three-step cut. And what most people do, I guess I do it a little bit differently. You can make the first cut underneath the limb at the place where you eventually want to make the final cut. You can do that first, but a lot of the books and a lot of the people that advise will tell you to go out 18 inches or so and make a cut under the limb first, and then out beyond that just a few inches make a cut so that the bulk of the limb falls off. And it won't, and it only peels back to that cut that you've made under the limb a few inches back closer to the trunk. And then you make the final cut just from top to bottom at the proper place outside the branch collar near the trunk. I tend to want to make the an undercut just out from the branch collar first, so if there's some accidental thing where the bark starts ripping back, you've made a cut that won't allow it to tear any farther into the close to the trunk of the tree. Either way you want to do it is fine. The point is make a cut underneath the limb first so it'll, when the bulk of the weight is cut away and it falls, it won't tear tissue back too far into the tree trunk. I do not recommend printing paint. Some people that I work with do. Especially in the spring for trees that might get oak wilt. But a post oak is not susceptible to oak wilt. So a post oak, I absolutely wouldn't put any pruning paint. If you just insist on putting some kind of wound dressing on pruning cuts, the best product on the market is an imported product, and it's a little pricey, but it's by far the best. It's called Lac Balsam. It's spelled L-A-C. And the second word, B-A-L-S-A-M, I believe is how it's spelled. It's best because it stays soft and it breathes. If it were my tree, I would not put a wound dressing on it at all. Well, let's try Susan in Flower Mound, see if we can talk to her. Hello, Susan. Susan, are you there? Well, we're just not going to make it. It doesn't look like it today with the callers getting to talk to me. They can hear me. I can't hear I can hear them, but they can't hear me for some reason. She has a shady spot where she wants to know what to plant. Gosh, there's 10,000 things that could be a possibility there. We'll try to figure out how to talk to her off the air or something. Shady spots in the Flower Mound area. That's north of Dallas. One of the things that I do in a real shady situation, and that's what we have at home, is I do a combination of hard surfaces or relatively hard surfaces and ground covers. I do walkways and sitting areas out of things like decomposed granite. And in our front yard, our walkway is made out of a basalt gravel. It's a dark gray gravel that's almost black when it's wet. And it fits in with our house because our house is gray. And it's a nice material. The basalt is a very heavy gravel, and so it stays in place well. And then in the large areas, we use ground covers. I've used primarily Ophiopogon, which is the Mondo grass. And I've used also a very large amount of Persian ivy, which is one of my favorite ground covers for shade. It's a little hard to find is the only thing. It looks like a larger leafed, prettier English ivy. That's what it looks like. And it's just soft and very pleasant kind of a ground cover. And then I'll tend to use some things that are a little bit taller in the shady areas as the next step up. Well, with shrubs in the background that can take shady conditions and ornamental trees. I have dogwoods and rusty blackhaw viburnums and Mexican plum. And, we have things like the Chinese photinia, not red-tip photinia, but the Chinese photinia. And then as it steps down, we do things like inland sea oats, which is great in the shade. And we do ferns, and we do other things that can take the shady conditions. So you have a kind of a tier stepping down effect of plants like that. You can look online at these plants, and you can also go to my books, which cover plants, Texas Gardening the Natural Way. For those of you in the Texas and the South, that's probably the best one for you to look at. Well, it sounds like we're at the end of this hour. We've got two more for you. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Give me a call. We'll talk off the air or on the air, 866-444-3478. Our website is dirtdoctor.com. Appreciate you being with us, and we'll talk more right after this.